540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago. Former President Trump faces more charges in the special counsel's classified documents case. CBS's Christopher Cruz.
Loyola Law Professor Lori Levinson.
Additional charges were added to the Mar-a-Lago case, and these are serious because they focus not just on the retention of national defense information, but on obstruction of justice.
In this superseding indictment, in addition to former President Trump and his valet, prosecutors have charged Carlos de Oliveira, a maintenance worker at Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida. They say he helped to hide sensitive government documents from officials who tried to recover them. Christopher Cruz, CBS News, Washington.
A Trump campaign spokesman says special counsel Jack Smith knows they have no case. Trump's lawyers met today with prosecutors in the Washington, D.C. office of special counsel Jack Smith. Then a federal grand jury reconvened in the January 6th investigation in which the former president has been told he's a target. CBS's Robert Costa has more on how the 2024 GOP presidential candidate is navigating legal troubles.
Based on my conversations with Trump allies tonight, he's going to be sitting down with a conservative news outlet this evening. He wants to make sure he's connecting with that conservative audience at this fragile political and legal moment to make sure his own base supporters are still with him, that they're taking his cue, not reading any kind of indictment or news story about a looming indictment.
Federal officials are putting the Memphis, Tennessee Police Department under the microscope. Kristen Clark with the Justice Department says they'll look
whether the Memphis Police Department engages in racially discriminatory policing practices with respect to black residents of this city.
She mentioned Tyre Nichols' death during a traffic stop, but said the investigation is not based on a single event or unit within the police agency. A dangerous heat wave that hit the southern U.S. is now in the Midwest and has expanded to the Northeast. In Texas, residents are experiencing record-breaking heat still. And in Tyler, Dr. Yagnesh Desai with the University of Texas Health says they're getting a lot of calls for help.
Heat-related injuries can go on to cause neurological damage as well as organ damage. And that's the big concern that we always have when we run heat-related calls.
President Biden announces new long- and short-term steps to help tackle the extreme heat. CBS's Linda Kenyon reports.
The number one weather-related killer is heat.
That's why the president is reminding everyone.
Workers have federal heat-related protections. We should be protecting workers from hazardous conditions, and we will.
In addition, more cooling centers are being provided short-term, while long-term, the government will award grants to help cities and towns plant trees to repel the heat and expand access to green spaces. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, The White House.
This is CBS News.
Find great hires fast with Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring solution makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. A boil order is in for the village of Butler. The water advisory follows a significant water main break earlier today near Custer and Park. The break resulted in a substantial drop in water pressure, with residents advised not to use the water for drinking or cooking unless it's been boiled beforehand. The advisory is expected to take at least 24 hours while the city takes measures to ensure the water is safe. Once more, air quality remains a concern for residents in Waukesha, Milwaukee, and the surrounding region. The resurgence of wildfire smoke has led to an air quality advisory in effect until 11 tonight. Coffeeville Company, a roastery based in Washington County, has extended its presence into Waukesha County. They've set up a new cafe in Brookfield's relocated 1860s train depot. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has a new lineup.
Yes, that's awesome.
Starting at 6 AM, Up North News, 8 to 10, The Earl Ingram Show. Mondays, 8 to 9, Under the Helmet with the Grave Digger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dominic Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 540 AM, WAUK.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
Anybody running against Trump, if he calls them a nasty name, they should hit him back twice as hard. This is not the Marcus of Queensberry gentleman's rules anymore. In politics, certainly not in the Republican Party. Hit him hard.
Matt Flynn Direct, weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app. Log on civicmedia.us.
Corporate news and commentary? Are you tired of CEOs telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
It's time for the Rick Smith Show. Here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is the Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here. Today on the big program, lots to get to. Lots to talk about. Something happened with the former guy. A little something happened with Trump. A new 60-page... A superseding indictment. Yes, this has been filed by Jack Smith, the special prosecutor. Added a new defendant. So again, the number of names of people who work for the former guy. Better get a lawyer. This guy's name's Carlos de Oliveira. Evidently, he's the guy who was supposed to go and destroy all the evidence. As is the indictment, it says Trump ordered the altering, destruction, and concealment of evidence, obstruction of justice, all this stuff, willful retention of national defense information, all kinds of stuff. And what's interesting is the loyal, the faithful, the folks who thought, yeah, our guy will take care of us because we're going to protect our guy. We're going to go in there. We're going to do that work for our guy. You know he's going to throw them under the bus. And as I'm reading through the indictment, it's like, dude, they've got him dead to rights. I mean, they're laying it out going, look, we asked for the videotape. And then, within, minutes, there's somebody hot on the trail of destroying what we're asking for. And the weird thing about this, and this is the thing that's really just bizarre to me. And again, I get Donald Trump thinks he's the smartest guy in the room because, understand, he's been getting away with criming for decades. His entire life he's been getting away with stuff. Nobody has ever told him no. And again, this is where his parents failed him. But he's never been told no. He's never been held accountable. And he thinks he's above the law. And look, the reality is, in most cases, he has been. And I still don't think he's ever going to see the inside of a jail cell. But this could have all really simply just been avoided. I mean, it's remarkable to me that he would put himself in this mess, that he would listen to no one. All the FBI wanted was the stuff back. Took him a year. They were begging and pleading, please just give us the stuff back. We don't want to have to go down this road. But this is one of these moments. And my good friend Bob Ney, he got himself into a little trouble with the federal government. They don't run out of time or money. Once you finally get on their list, they're coming. And they have the resources, even with someone like Trump, who's supposedly a billionaire. This is one of those just, This will go down in history as he is literally the dumbest person ever to serve in the White House. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. When they're saying, look, just give it back. We don't want all the other headaches. We certainly, the DOJ didn't want much to do with it. The FBI didn't. They're just saying, give it back. And he refused. And, you know, made up all of this stuff about, you know, I declassified everything. I've got a magic wand. You know, whatever he was thinking then. And literally on tape, you've got him going, yeah, I shouldn't be showing you this really highly classified document about us almost going to war with Iran. I really shouldn't be showing you this. In fact, I shouldn't even really have it because I didn't declassify everything like I should have on the way out the door. I mean, he basically just, he talked himself into an indictment. And here's the thing. He's still not going to go to jail because he's still above the law. Because we're never going to hold people like that accountable. And look, I hope I'm wrong. I say this all the time. I hope I'm wrong. And I know I'm going to get angry emails and say, no, we're going to get him this time. No, you're not. But again, I come back to literally the dumbest guy to ever serve in the White House. Because it's all just right there. There's no attempt, and this is one of the arguments I get from his supporters. Well, if it was illegal, he wouldn't be flashing it around. Yes, he would. Because if you listen to me during his term, when he was in the White House, I was saying, look, the reality is, this guy, look, he wants to crime. He's going to crime. He's going to crime a lot. But more than just the thrill of criming, it's you knowing that he's criming and there's nothing you can do to him. That's the aphrodisiac. That's the thing that gets the little Trump up and happy. The fact that you know he's doing it and there's nothing you can do about it. And he's done this to people for decades. He's gotten away with this kind of stuff for years. And finally, someone is saying, you know, no. You're going to be held accountable. Now, I don't know what that looks like. I still, and as I said, still don't think he's ever going to see the inside of a jail. But here's what the good part is. He's bogged down on this for the rest of his life. This is not going away. It's not going to be done by the election. I know people are, no, we're going to get him before the election, and he's not going to be able to run. No, he's going to be able to run. But he's going to have to deal with this. Pretty much until the day he dies. Because look, the big ones haven't even come yet. This is the stuff nobody thought that they would. I have had people on this program who said, no, they're never going to go after this. And I was going, no, I think this is important. I think you got to go after him for this stuff. The big stuff still hasn't yet to fall yet. The big stuff, you know, the Fannie Willis in Georgia. Evidently, potentially big stuff coming. Because from what I'm seeing in the news, the courthouse barricades have popped up. I don't know if they just planted the barricade seeds and they sprung up, but they're there. So that's telling me somebody's planning for something. And I, you know, what else is going on in Georgia? I mean, vote suppression. Sure. We're going to purge a bunch of people and their ability to vote, but that's not going to cause, you know, a run on the courthouse. What else could it possibly be but the perfect phone call? Hey, go dig into the couch cushions. Find me those 14,000 votes that I need to win Georgia. Because, hey, I won by 400,000, but just get me 1,400. Or just get me 14,000. I won by 400,000, just give me 14,000. That's all I really need. So I'm waiting for the big stuff to fall. Because, look, we still don't. We're still waiting on January 6th. Now, what's interesting is today the game was being played by Trump all day. No, they aren't going to indict. No, they don't. They haven't said anything. No. And then they did. Oh, it's fake news. I know he loves the chaos, loves to point the finger. But this is going to be interesting. Going to be interesting to see how more of this plays out. How many people are jumping ship? How many rats are jumping ship? How many people were there for the criming and look the other way and are now going, uh-oh, I better save my, what's that, CYOA? Cover your own behind? Yeah. Because where's Mark Meadows? Anybody seen Mark Meadows. I mean, he must be near Waldo somewhere because nobody's seen him, which has got a lot of people thinking, you know, he's flipped. He's singing like a canary, like a jailhouse bird, because he doesn't want to be a jailhouse bird. But here's the thing, you know, the January 6th thing is coming. There will be an indictment coming very soon, I believe. And then out of this, there's so many questions that need to be answered. For instance, you know, was that all part of the long-term strategy? How long did they come up with this? Now, you may remember, back before the election, you had Steve Bannon running around saying, you know, Trump, no matter what the outcome is on election night, he's going to declare victory. And I said that, too. I said, look, that's their game plan. They know that Republicans are going to vote on the day of the election, because that's what they've told their people to do. And Democrats, to be safe, are going to, you know, tell people, you know, vote from home, vote by mail. And those won't be counted for days, even weeks. And in those days and weeks, while you're counting the ballots, you know, he's going to be out there screaming that he won and it's being stolen from him. And he's going to whip the base up into a frenzy. It's almost like they planned it. And here in my state of Pennsylvania, it's exactly what they did. They tried to declare that they won. Didn't work, but they tried. They tried to declare, look, you know, look, they're stealing from us. So, you know, how much of that is there? You know, how much of the firing of Esper and Barr and all of the chaos that happened in the aftermath, how much of that plays into it? And then the elector thing. The elector thing still is I know Dana Nessel is in Michigan, the attorney general there is prosecuting the 16 fake electors there. And I'm still waiting for Pennsylvania to do something and Georgia and some other states. Because to me, that's kind of a big freaking deal. And why haven't we heard more about the fake electors? Was that part of it? And when did they dream up this scheme? And who was behind it? Maybe my congressman was part of it because he was involved. Scott, pardon me, Perry, part of all of this. So there's a lot here. And, you know, look, I mean, there's so many questions I have. What was said in the limo when they wouldn't take him to the Capitol? there's a lot. What did they say to Pence? And why hasn't Pence said anything? They wanted to hang him. You would think he'd be going, hey, you know. Now, here's the thing. This is what I find hysterical. Turned on right-wing radio today. And what did I hear about? I heard about Hunter Biden. All I heard was Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden's going to jail. Hunter Biden committed horrible crimes. I got an email the other day from someone saying that they're going to impeach Hunter Biden. And I'm going, good luck. Let me know how that works. Because I must have missed that. You know, show me you failed high school civics class without saying a word. Now, look, I'm okay with them going after Hunter Biden. He broke the law. He goes to jail. That's how our system works. That's how it should work. And this is how what conservatives should be in favor of. Someone breaks the law, they go to jail. The old Beretta thing. Don't do the crime if you can't do the time. Orange Menace. Just saying. Now, if you're going to go after Hunter Biden, I think you got to go after Jared Kushner. Why haven't we gone after Jared over the Saudi deal? It's not that I'm saying we should not go after Hunter Biden. If he broke the law, go get him. But I, in looking at what's being accused, I don't know. One seems bigger than the other. One, you got a crackhead who made some dumb things, got used. The other, somebody really manipulative, actually worked for the government, actually used his influence. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But I want to hear your thoughts on all of this. Should Trump go to jail when he's found guilty? And I'm telling you, I think he's going to be found guilty. I just don't think he's going to go to jail. I want to hear your thoughts, though. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break, right back after this.
We are AFGE, the American Federation of Government Employees. We represent 700,000 federal and D.C. government workers who are the vital threads of the fabric of American life. We support our nation's military. We take care of our nation's veterans. We protect our nation's borders. We respond to our nation's crises and natural disasters. We provide services to our nation's seniors. The American Federation of Government Employees. We work for America.
The phone lines are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425. Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, evidently, according to House Majority Leader Steve Scalise, the House is going to leave early for recess, early for the August recess. And there's part of me that goes, you know, good. Good. It's good to get rid of them. They're not going to do anything anyway. Nothing constructive could come out of them being together. And look, almost a fist fight in the House today as Kevin McCarthy and Eric Swalwell almost went to blows. I can't repeat what was said. A lot of vulgarity. But if you're Kevin McCarthy and you're going to tell someone, if you say something again, I'm going to hit you, and they say it again, you kind of got to hit him. You can't just walk away. It kind of proves the point that what he called you, you kind of are. Let's go to the phones. We got Steve from Chicago on line one. Steve, how are you?
Fine, thank you. Just getting in the car here. Sorry about that. So I wanted to make the point with regard to Hunter Biden. I mean, this is a tactic on the part of Republicans, you know, just detract from anything that has to do with actual kitchen table issues.
Yep.
What, we just had the numbers released today in terms of GDP. We're at a solid 2.4%. Now, again, nothing to, you know, necessarily celebrate, but if you were expecting a recession, which is what we've been, you know, told to expect for the last couple of years, 2.4% does not indicate a recession is on its way. Far from it. And when you take that into consideration, along with everything else in terms of good news with regard to unemployment, consumer confidence, all of these things, you know, the stock market. I mean, if you're planning on running against a Joe Biden in terms of the economy, good luck, because you're going to have a Herculean task doing so. So Republicans have to create something to run against, and they created this scandal in terms of his son. And assuming that he's guilty of all of these things, okay, the fact is that he's not being under-prosecuted. In fact, at least one of those charges is something that most legal experts agree would not be something you and I would be facing if we were in the same shoes if it were not for the fact that his name was Biden.
Right.
And so this idea that Hunter Biden is somehow getting a free pass, no, these are three charges, not anything serious. One of them shouldn't be charged with to begin with in most situations. And beyond that, again, where's the scandal? I mean, they're looking for something, and it's not a coincidence that this is a Trump-appointed judge who wants to draw, you know, relatively minor charges. A plea deal was arrived at, which is how the vast majority of cases like this are settled. On minor charges, a plea deal was arrived at. Everybody agrees, except for the judge, the Trump-appointed judge, who wants to drag this out for political reasons, in my view. So, again, Republicans are just looking for something to grasp onto because they have nothing of substance. They have been the party of no. It's just we're opposed to everything that Democrats want. So if Democrats are for extending civil rights to people who are of transgender background, well, we're against that. And if Democrats are for extending civil rights to people or maintaining the civil rights protections that the groups have enjoyed in this country, we're against that. No matter what Democrats are for, and it's amazing to me that Republicans, the party that was supposedly against the evils of the former Soviet Union, which is now Russia, because the guy in charge was a former Soviet KGB agent, you know, all of a sudden he's a darling for them.
Yeah.
I mean, how did the Republican Party become the darlings of the Russian oligarchs? That's just mind-boggling to me, because they want to pull us out of any involvement in terms of supporting the people of Ukraine as if somehow we're supposed to be on the other side of that equation. And I have no idea how the Republicans flipped on that. Ronald Reagan would be turning over in his grave.
Yeah, how'd we go from Mr. Gorbachev tear down this wall to go ahead, Mr. Putin, go right on ahead. Come on, go right on ahead. Here, we'll help you. Strange days, Steve. Strange days indeed. I appreciate the call, though. Thank you. Let's go to line two. We got Alice on line two. Alice, what's on your mind and how are you?
Oh, I'm doing well, thanks. Well, let me say first off, I happen to agree with everything that Steve just said. That's basically what I was going to say. But I also wanted to say, you know, the Republicans are claiming that the Democrats and Joe Biden are politicizing, you know, and using as retribution the Department of Justice and the court system, when they're actually the ones that's doing it. Because if we're going to be looking at things, okay, so first off, Hunter Biden did something, well, good and well, let you know, he's in trouble, okay. But why are we making it about Joe? Oh, I know, because we got to make it look like he's a big criminal, because we keep saying, you know, Democrats are evil and wicked and criminals and blah, blah, blah.
Well, that, and how do you defend an actual criminal unless you try and make someone else equal with them? I mean, part of this is trying
exactly
to put Biden and Trump on the same level. And look, you know, Biden is nowhere near the criminal that Trump is, because Biden didn't do anything wrong. There's been no straight line from what Hunter Biden did to Joe Biden. There's just not. And I said from the beginning, unless you can take that into court and have someone with a robe go, okay, you put your hand on that book and say it, I don't want to hear it from you anymore.
Well, exactly. And it's funny how all their so-called whistleblowers keep either getting jailed or running off, or they can't find them, or
guilty of crimes.
All of a sudden, yeah, you know, they claim they have all these whistleblowers and witnesses, but when push comes to shove, all of a sudden they can't find them. You know, it's just crazy. And I'm like you, you know, that let's actually investigate Kushner and Ivanka and the rest of them that were right there working in the White House. And, you know, all of a sudden she's getting all these deals with China. He's getting money from Saudi Arabia. I mean, hey, we're going to investigate Hunter, who supposedly is in collusion with his dad and who knows who else, then, gee, mayhap we should investigate the Trump kids.
Yeah.
But they're all crazy, and, you know, it's cute nonsense, and I'm tired of hearing it.
There you go.
So you have a good evening,
Thanks,
Rick.
Alice. Now, here's the thing. Look, I think you investigate Hunter Biden. If he broke the law, you investigate him. I've never said not to. But you do have to. I mean, seriously. You know, Jared Kushner got $2 billion, billion with a B, billion with a B. Did I mention he get $2 billion? Did I mention that? From the Saudis, who the overseeing body in that country said, no, this is bad. And Mr. Bonesaw said, no, no, we're going to do this anyway. And you got to go, well, what was the quid pro quo? What did we get? What did they get? Nobody's investigating that because the House isn't interested in that. You've got to figure out how to make Biden look bad. And look, we know how Republicans are going to attack Biden next year. It's all going to be about him not being able to finish out his term and then scaring people with the dog whistle of going, well, do you want Kamala Harris as president? And you know where that's going to take us. That's their plan. It's all they've got because they haven't been able to crash the economy. They haven't been able to pull back the funding to that is creating the jobs and rebuilding our infrastructure and, you know, moving us in a direction that's doing something on climate. I mean, trust me, they're trying. They're trying to screw things up, but it hasn't worked yet. Because the economy, you know, look, it's not great for everybody, but we're moving in the right direction. And the fact that there's so much labor activity means that wages are going to start popping up, and that's a good thing. Republicans got problems. Now, the other problem that they're going to have is, from what I'm hearing, you know, we're going to see a lot of Marjorie Three names. Marjorie Taylor Greene will be the poster child because evidently she's now the face of the Republican Party. She is, I mean, the crazy caucus got rid of her, which means she's not even crazy enough for them. And of course, my congressman, Scott Pardonme Perry, the head of the kook caucus, you know, booted her to the curb because she wasn't kooky enough for them. Now, what's weird is, according to the Center for American Progress, they looked at her voting record. And what they found is that however she votes, the House Republicans voted alongside her 92% of the time. So she is the driver right now of the GOP. It's not Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy's a wimp, and he showed that today. You don't go call someone out in public and just, you'll call me names, I'll kick your behind. And then they literally, you know, call you that name with periods between each word. And then you walk away. You know, where I grew up, you said something like that, them's fighting words. You don't get to walk away. But that's a whole nother conversation for another day. But I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. Do you care about the Hunter Biden thing? Do you care about that at all? And, you know, did the person who emailed me, did they know something I don't? Can we impeach a private citizen? Is that possible? The answer is clearly no. But it is funny. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@therickssmithshow.com. Back after this. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1918. That was the day miners' president Ginger Goodwin was shot dead in British Columbia. His murder sparked Canada's first general strike in Vancouver the following week. Goodwin had arrived in British Columbia 8 years earlier and found work in the Cumberland Mines on Vancouver Island. He considered working conditions in the mines absolutely appalling and began advocating for safety and organizing miners. He was soon blacklisted after participating in a 2-year coal miner strike for recognition on the island. He moved to Trail, British Columbia, where he emerged as a Socialist Party candidate in the 1916 election. He was also elected president of the International Union of Mine, Mill and Smelter Workers, District 6, the vice president of British Columbia's Federation of Labor, and the head of the local Trades and Labor Council. He openly expressed his opposition to Canada's entry into the war, stating that workers were now employed in killing each other. He was found unfit for military duty after a medical exam. That was until he led a strike for the 8-hour day at Consolidated Mining and Smelting. It was the world's largest lead and zinc smelter and a key munitions producer during the war. His status was quickly changed to make him eligible for conscription. He fled to the Cumberland Hills, where he hid out for months to avoid the draft. And on this day, Goodwin was shot dead by a Dominion Police special constable. He was brought back to Cumberland, where thousands turned out for his funeral in a mile-long procession. The Vancouver labor movement was outraged by Goodwin's murder and called a one-day general strike on August 2nd to protest his killing. Labor History in 2 brought to you by the Illinois Labor History Society and The Rick Smith Show. For more information, go to laborhistoryin2.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on the Twitters at laborhistoryin2.
As John Mellencamp sings, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. True. And it's equally true that if you stand for everything, you won't amount to anything. In a remarkable achievement, a newly formed political party calling itself No Labels has managed to fall into both traps, standing up for everything and nothing at all. The fledgling entity is using every synonym in the book to assure everyone that it is a middle-of-the-road bipartisan centrist, both sides party, offering hybrid liberal-conservative solutions that won't offend anyone. But wait, they've chosen a multimillionaire coal baron and a multimillionaire son of a global plastics polluter to be their standard bearers. As a presidential ticket, Democrat Joe Manchin and Republican John Huntsman probably would unite voters of both parties against them. While they don't stand for much, there is one huge overriding issue that the No Labels hucksters strongly agree on: corporate money contaminating American politics. These, quote, reformers are in favor of it. Indeed, secret fat cat donations are the no-labelers' financial lifeline, having already hauled in hundreds of thousands of dollars from right-wing corporate interests. Such as, no, say the founders, we can't tell you who's buying the no-labels label, for the funders don't want the public to know their names or their special interests. Of course, secret funding of elections equals secret government of, by and far, the funders. By standing against the people's right to know, the group has put a flaming neon fraud label on their hokey reform party. Huntsman even admits it, saying financial disclosure would be the right thing to do, but, quote, that's not the way you play the game. This is Jim Hightower saying, the game? just what we need. Another gang of corporate politicos who think governing America is a game to be won by hook or crook.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So Tuesday, while we were in D.C., while I was at the Writers Guild action at Black Lives Matter Plaza at the AFL headquarters, the good folks over at Social Security Works were at the Capitol having a little get-together over the Medicare Advantage scheme that's going on and how we save Medicare, how we save Social Security, how we don't allow Republicans to continue to destroy our little bit of old age safety net. And that's why I've asked Alex Lawson to come talk with us. Alex is the executive director of Social Security Works. You can check out their website, socialsecurityworks.org. Alex, thanks for taking time for us.
Thanks for having me, as always.
So walk me through Tuesday. You guys were out there in the Capitol sweating, hot,
man,
blazing heat. Tell me about it.
It was so hot. It was a great day, though. We had over 100 folks join us in D.C., primarily New York retirees who are being forced into a so-called Medicare Advantage plan. You know, these are people who put in their time as part of their wages. They were promised health care. And that was traditional Medicare. And I know you know this, Rick, and your listeners do, but just to explain it, on traditional Medicare, when you get sick, you get the care that you need, full stop. That's what happens. Right. Your doctor says you need this, you get it. On so-called Medicare Advantage, your doctor says you need this, you go to get it, and then an insurer is in the middle, and the insurer might say, not without my approval, and they delay and they deny care. And most people who sign up for a MA plan, you know, stop saying so-called Medicare Advantage, it's a privatized plan in Medicare. They don't realize that that's what they're signing up for, because the whole system right now, it's set up. If you just go to the website, the official government website, you know, it looks like these are the same. It doesn't say anywhere on there, warning, Medicare Advantage is private health insurance, and they may delay or deny your care, which can lead to harm or death. And I think if they did say that, we'd see a lot fewer people choosing Medicare Advantage. But right now we have a huge problem. 51% of the people in Medicare are on private plans. 51%. Yeah. The majority of the program now is making money for these corporate insurers. And there's actually two ways. In the pre-Medicare market, the only way they make money is by delaying and denying care, right? So they take our premiums and deny our care. That's how they make money. In the Medicare system, they delay our care, they deny our care, and then they rip off the taxpayers too. So they have two ways of making money in Medicare Advantage, which is why so many of them are mainly focused on the Medicare Advantage market now. Many insurers have actually exited the commercial market entirely because it's a way sweeter gig for them to just rip off the taxpayers to the tune of $75 billion. $75 billion, right? Remember when we were fighting for vision, hearing, and dental? And I was like, oh, we can't afford that. We take that $75 billion we overpaid them last year. We can add vision, hearing, dental, an out-of-pocket cap. Right. We can do all of the things. All we have to do is stop getting ripped off, Rick.
Yep. No, look, this isn't new. Understand, when this passed during the Bush years, I had a friend who worked for the big insurer locally. I'm not going to name them, but, you know, one of the colored ones. And, the red, white, and the other one. One of those insurers. You kind of know which one I'm talking about. And he said the biggest mistake that they made was not getting on board with Medicare right from the very beginning and taking it over. Because, you know, they can administer it and do all this stuff. And he laid out, you know, this is going back, you know, 10, 12 years. He laid out what the plan was, you know, offer, you know, lots of glitzy stuff, gym memberships, you know, all kinds of sweeteners that don't cost anything, but look really nice. And oh, my gosh, I'm getting something. And, you know, then you get them in and you can have all this business and you'll make all the money after do all the things you just said. That's how they make their money. And it's worked out exactly the way the guy explained it to me.
Absolutely. But I will say the hopeful thing is that there is a shift. So we had over 100 people. We walked, we broke out into teams. We had people meet with their members of Congress, their senators. We met with Leader Jeffries' office. We met with Leader Schumer's office. And the Democrats are really beginning to understand that it's not about saying, you know, pitting MA against traditional Medicare, because in that situation, the insurers have a really good playbook that if anyone tries to rein in their ripoff even a little bit, they just pour money into advertisements saying, oh, they're trying to take away your Medicare Advantage plan. And we're sitting there saying, no, we have to protect everybody. Everybody in traditional Medicare, everybody in Medicare Advantage, and everyone who needs to make a choice coming into, you know, what plan are they going to choose? We have to stop delays and denials across the board. We don't just write off people who find themselves in a Medicare Advantage plan because, you know, they didn't know what they were signing up for. That's who the Democrats need to stand up for. And it's starting to really be understood. We're seeing members who previously thought that the only thing they could do is sort of support Medicare Advantage because their constituents are on it. Now you can see the light bulbs going off. They're like, wait, I have to protect my constituents on Medicare Advantage from these killer plans. I have to stop the delays and denials in Medicare Advantage for the people on Medicare Advantage. We also have to strengthen traditional Medicare so that people aren't locked into Medicare Advantage, because that, as you know, Rick, is what happens right now. A person finds themselves in a Medicare Advantage plan, they need care, their care is denied. They think, okay, well, I'll switch over to traditional Medicare. They find that they can no longer get the supplemental insurance, which again, the private insurers are the reason that we have these holes in traditional Medicare that we need to fill. And what we want to do is not have a private product to fill those holes. Let's fill the holes. You know, if there's a gap in Medicare, I don't want another insurance product being sold in there. I want to just fill the gap. Let's add the things that are missing in traditional Medicare.
But
so it's like we have to play defense and offense at the same time. Protect people from the killer plans, delays and denials, and strengthen traditional Medicare so that it's on an even playing field with these MA plans.
But Alex, competition will make them both better. Don't you know? If they're competing, they're going to be better. That's what we're told, right?
The old myth of competition, and you know, there is no competition in. So the whole thing breaks down just right at the start in that health is not a market good, right? Like economics and the market is based on your willingness to pay, right? If I have a candy bar and I'm trying to find how much it's worth, I find what someone's willing to pay for that, the willingness to pay. Well, what's your willingness to pay for your life or your child's life? It's everything you have and everything you can borrow. So healthcare is not a market good. So the insurers, they definitely don't have to compete against each other. All they have to do is gather as many people into their plans as possible who don't need healthcare, identify the people who do need healthcare and exclude them from the plan. If a person gets sick, what these delays and denials are about is pushing them out of the plan so that the insurer doesn't have to pay for their healthcare.
Yeah.
So it's from the start, there's no way that a private entity, I mean, think about the setup, and I know you have, Rick, and your listeners, but let me just go through it again. You got Medicare. You know, you get sick, you get the care you need. And then the insurers are like, well, what if we stick a for-profit middleman in the middle of it? And somehow magically that's going to make things better. You're like, how's that work? You're just going to have to pay for the middleman and the middleman CEO's golden yacht, right? And that's what it's all about. These guys are making tens of millions of dollars a year.
Yep.
That's what it's all about. Yep. It's they're buying their yachts with our health. In denying and delaying our health, Rick.
No, I'm right there with you. And the thing is that gets me is you turn on the TV and that's all you see is, you know, you get these wonderful commercials. Oh, look what I've got. It's Medicare. It's just like, it's just the same. All of these ads to get people to sign up. I don't see Medicare able to have those kind of ads going. No, those crooks are robbing you blind. That's the ad we should have.
Absolutely. And I think it's a difficult one. It's a difficult proposition, but we should be able to have the ads. For traditional Medicare.
We shouldn't need the ads. We shouldn't need ads at all. We should have one policy for our seniors that just what you said. When you need care, you get care. You don't go broke.
But right now, where we do have these insurance vultures sitting there, you know, greedily trying to carve up Medicare, what we at least need is some warnings on those ads, right? Like, we need some truth on those ads, a little cigarette pack warning, Medicare Advantage is not traditional Medicare and does have delays and denials, which have been shown to hurt and kill people, right? On every single ad.
No, I like
Joe Namath tries to sell it to you. You realize, you know, this is a bill of goods. This isn't real. This is a scam.
Yeah, that free gym membership might actually kill me. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show here with Alex Lawson. He's the executive director of Social Security Works. SocialSecurityWorks.org is their website if you want to check the amazing work that they do. Now, you know, I'm a labor guy. You know this. You know, I'm you know, people know me as that. I get beat up all the time over the fact that you've got the AFL-CIO endorsing some of these plans. You know, can you walk me through how that works? And, you know, is it true, as was explained to me, that they've negotiated some better benefits in this, that it's not quite as bad, or where do you see that?
So it's a complicated one, because their unions are find themselves in a really hard place, right? With the bosses cracking down, union membership shrinking, money problems, and then you know, well-heeled insurance salesperson who's paid an enormous amount of money and has all of these materials, they come into the union's office and they show them what looks like a deal that's too good to be true, because it is.
Yeah.
But in the first years, it looks like it saves unions a lot of money. And, you know, it doesn't save. It just puts all those costs onto the beneficiaries. So we continue to advise anybody who asks, do not switch to a Medicare Advantage plan. It doesn't actually save you any money. It's penny wise, pound foolish. But we also, because we realize there's a tremendous amount of propaganda and velocity on this, and, you know, they're only hearing from the MA plans. And for years, they oftentimes just took what was offered to them. We are saying, you know, it's not really about getting, you know, like, better benefits, Rick, because yes, we would love that. But what we're at right now is just saying, hey, unions, you got to negotiate to ensure the safety of your members. If you switch to an MA plan, you have to have that. You have to bargain hard, just like you do for your contract. You have to bargain hard. No delays, no denials. You know how many cancer centers of excellence are covered by most Medicare Advantage plans? Zero. Yeah. You know how many centers of excellence are covered by MA plans? Zero. We have to have unions or anyone, you know, these big pools of retirees. It looks like a big bucket of money to these MA plans. So the advertisements are picking up people one at a time, but when they can flip an entire union's retiree population, you know, that's 1,000 people in one go. So they are investing a ton of resources into flipping these unions plans. And we're telling the unions, we need you to bargain as hard, you know, don't do it. Don't switch to MA. It's penny wise, pound foolish. If you are going to, you have to ensure the safety of your members. You have to ensure that you're not killing your members by forcing them into an MA plan where they could have their care delayed and denied. And just to finish, you know, just so everyone really gets it, the people who they delay and deny are those who need healthcare the most. So anybody who has a chronic condition, anybody who has a serious health condition, you know, which many working people after a lifetime of backbreaking labor, that's who I'm talking about. They're the ones who need healthcare. They're going to be the ones first up. And I just, to go to the New York plan really quickly, like, because it's a really great story, and I hope everyone sees and Googles it, just New York Public Employees Medicare Advantage, you'll find all, you know, Marianne Pizzatola and her organization, they are winning. They've got 3 lawsuits. They've won in front of 6 judges. The city of New York and their union are just continuing to drive this forward, but the workers are saying no. And the insurance company Aetna is trying to make it seem like they're listening. And this is my favorite one, because, you know, we have a document like, these are the things you have to do to protect your members. Don't allow delays and denials. Ensure these centers of excellence. So what Aetna did is they put a few of those in for 2 years. They're like, oh, yeah, yeah, no, we hear you. So we won't delay and deny people. We'll have Sloan Kettering in the network for 24 months. And you're like, what's that? What's the benefit of that? Yeah. And after on year 3, you're going to turn around and kill me? So like, they know that they need to be able to do the bad things in order to profit at the level that they are, you know, they feel they well, actually, that Wall Street demands from them, quarter on quarter growth, right? They cannot do anything other than squeeze every dime out of every person in their plan. So we need the government to actually step in. There's no way that the business itself would act well, right? They can only do one thing, make money off of denying and delaying people healthcare. So it's a really dicey place. And Rick, you know, we've been losing for years. It's just, I watch the line. I've been walking the halls of Congress for 7 years with a chart showing it going up. And I'm like, once it hits 51% and they gain market power, they will start with abandon delaying and denying care. And I wish I could say it was our activism, which is why it's sort of bubbled up into popular consciousness right now. And it has. But really what it is that the insurers are taking off their masks, right? As soon as they are the only choice, as soon as they have market power, then they lose all pretense that they're in the business of providing healthcare, and they start delaying and denying as quickly as possible. Yeah. You know, we walked around the Hill with a woman with a heartbreaking story. Megan Bent is her name, and her father was a public employee. He didn't have a choice. So sometimes they push people into a MA plan after, but sometimes just it's in your contract, right? So he didn't get a choice. He just was in an MA plan. His doctor said he needed skilled nursing, an algorithm. So AI, an algorithm denied his claim for skilled nursing. So they had to move him from the facility and he died. Right? That's not theoretical. United Healthcare killed him with an AI denial. Like, I want all denials to be forbidden in Medicare. If you get sick, you get the care that you need. But at the very least, we can't let the robots be doing it. Yeah. Right? We can't, not even the pretense of a doctor saying there's a medical reason for this. It's just a robot saying, this is how we're going to make the most money.
Yeah, and we haven't even talked about how they do, you know, in-home care, where they're charging people, and they're coming up with new illnesses. There's so much to this. But last question I've got for you: what should people do? Look, I know most people I know, and I explain this to, get outraged, but most people don't know what to do. What do we do?
So I will say it's been wonderful working with Be a Hero and Adi Barkin, who are leading this fight and have really coalesced a lot of the disparate groups that are fighting back into one cohesive whole. And that's what we did on Tuesday. It was, you know, that grouping. And we have more coming. So on Sunday, the 30th, that's Medicare's birthday. And we have hundreds of birthday parties across the country under the hashtag Reclaim Medicare. And you can go to beahero.org. You can go to socialsecurityworks.org. The direct link is heroes.win/dayofaction. And you can sign up there to host a birthday party, raise your voice, and be plugged into this massive and growing group of people who are saying no more delays, no more denials. It's time that we reclaim Medicare. We know what the promise of Medicare is. It's if you get sick, you get the care that you need, and we're not going to accept anything less. So if you go to socialsecurityworks.org or follow us on social media, or, you know, look at us on social media. You'll find the links about the day of action for Medicare's birthday. And we've got more stuff coming after that. But the next one is the birthday party, heroes.win/day of action. And we just have to demonstrate that the people are united and we're raising our voice together. And we're not going to take no for an answer here. No more delays, no more denials, full stop.
There you go. Good stuff, Alex. I appreciate the time, as always. Amazing work you do there at Social Security Works. Hope folks will check a look at the website, socialsecurityworks.org. We'll get links out on social media. Alex Lawson, appreciate the time.
Thanks, Rick.
I want to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Quick break, right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people.
Are open. Give Rick a call at 1-866-416-RICK. That's 1-866-416-7425.
Are you tired of think tank approved corporate news and commentary? Are you tired of CEOs telling you what to think, who to hate, and who to vote for? Well, welcome to the Rick Smith Show. We don't take orders from some boardroom, and we don't do focus groups or talking points. We don't work for them, and we never will. I'm Rick Smith, and I work for you. Join us daily at thericksmithshow.com and download the podcast and never miss a minute.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
You know, it's amazing when you have all of these privatized plans, be it, you know, Medicare Advantage over Medicare, be it charter schools and cyber charters over your public schools. It's amazing how there's money for advertisements. And this is the part that really gets me. It's amazing that we've got money to advertise to get you to take your kids out of the local public school or get granny to switch over to some scheme. It's amazing how they've always got money for that. There's always money for that. There's always money for bonuses. There's always money for Wall Street. But, you know, as Alex pointed out, you know, when they were talking about getting hearing and dental and vision, which is a blind spot in Medicare, you know, we're already paying for it. And this is the part that drives me insane. These privatized schemes do one thing, and one thing really well. They take public money and give it to private interests. I am not against the idea of public-private partnerships. I'm not. When you're using public dollars to have private entities do things that benefit the public, I'm all in favor of it. But this, not so much. Because what's the benefit? As Alex pointed out, the first thing they do is deny care. Because look, they're not in the business. This is the weird thing. Health insurance companies are not in the business of helping you get well. They're not in the business of ensuring that you get the best care. They're not in the business of making sure you're cared for, you're well, that you're healthy. That's not their business. Their business is collecting your premiums and then spending as little of those premiums as they can taking care of people. Then the rest they get to keep. That's why insurance companies make so much money. That's why the majority of millionaires in this country were made through insurance. Because they get people. This is not rocket science. They get people to send them money every single month for their entire life. On the chance that something bad is gonna happen, be it homeowners insurance, be it car insurance, be it health insurance, no matter what it is. And they're betting that bad things aren't gonna happen to you. But when they do, it's how can they squeeze the quarter till the eagle screams? And by the eagle being you and me, how can they ensure that their liability in this isn't that much, which is why they put caps on stuff so that they're not completely out of pocket for things that happen. This is why, again, I come back to health insurance is one of those things that When you're having a heart attack, you're not speed dialing the local hospital to find who's got the best deal. If there's a coupon available, that's not how that works. And I know my competition friends, we need competition. I know they love to throw that out there, but in a free market environment, one of the main things in a free market is the ability to abstain. I can take it or I can leave it. I can negotiate for it. I can fight for, but the ability to walk away. And this is what I was explaining to my son when we bought a motor. We went and bought a motorcycle together. And I said, you know, you got to figure out how much you're willing to pay and at what point you walk away. The walk away part is what gives you leverage. If you can't walk away and the
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.